If you will, stand with me. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. And the Bible says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also without understanding? Do you yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray and ask that you please be with me tonight as I preach. Please give me strength in my voice and clarity of mind so that I could speak the words you would have me to say. God, we love you. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to learn from your word and to hear from your son. I pray that you would please open our hearts, open our ears, and Lord, help us to have them to hear. Now, Lord, we love you. I pray and ask that you'd give me strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Today, I'm going to be teaching not one of my sermons about the things my dad taught me, although I have another one in the working, 22 things my dad has taught me over the last 20 years that I am just now learning because I didn't learn it then. And then also I have a sermon, 22 things my wife has taught me since we've been married. So if you're looking forward to that, it's in the making. Don't worry about it. I am going to preach it someday. And although I have more than 22 things that my wife has tried to teach me, but you know, I'm a slow learner. Many of you know that. Many of you know me. But today I want to preach on the heart. And of course here, Jesus has rebuked the Pharisees because they're hypocrites. And him and his disciples were just walking through basically a row of corn. And the disciples got hungry, and so they plucked some of it. And, of course, it wasn't corn, it was wheat, and so they rubbed it in between their hands to get the shell of the wheat off so that they could get the grain and they could eat it. Well, the Pharisees saw this, and they said, "Your disciples are eating without washing their hands." And many of you mothers can understand that. Why, son, did you come to the table without washing your hands? Go wash your hands. Go wash the dirt out from behind your ears. Well, that's what the Pharisees were saying. And Jesus goes through and just completely rips them. If you read the first 1 through 7 of the chapter, I mean, he's just getting warmed up by verse 7. He calls them hypocrites. He explains to them that they don't know what they're talking about because, you know, they will say that you need to wash your hands before you eat, but they will not honor their father and mother even. But here we get to what I was wanting to preach on. And, of course, the heart of man is the part where the personality, the thoughts, and the desires come from. And really, if I want to use a biblical term, many times David in the Psalms says that his reigns. You know, in Psalm 16, verse 7, it says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." And throughout the Old Testament, the word reins is used. And that is referring to the heart. That is referring to what is inside us that I believe is the key part of the deciding factor. If your heart is going one way, for where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. And the heart is what helps us make our decisions. Of course, in Proverbs, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And here is Jesus is telling us, if I could say it was a secret, the secret on how to make your heart make the right decisions. And I guess I'll use that as my sermon title today. So we're going to concentrate, I'm going to get into it, how to make your heart make the right decisions. Because whatever you put into your heart is what's going to come out, but I'll get there. And so, in fact, Brother Dalton, could you help me? I've got inside here a table and a couple bags. Could you get those for me? Just right inside that door to the right. And I'm going to start making some statements about the heart. And I've got an illustration. I brought an illustration today. I was led to inspiration for an illustration. And so thank you, Dalton. And I'll get to my illustration here in a second. But number one, in main introduction, of course, naturally the heart of man is evil. Romans 3:10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Matthew 15:19 says this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. In Genesis 8:21, it says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And of course, we've all read the psalm where David is going on and he says, in iniquity was I shapen, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are all sinful people naturally. Obviously, this is a Wednesday night crowd, we know that, but our heart is naturally sinful. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, no cuts, no buts, no coconuts about it. It's our heart is sinful. We're evil naturally. And so that's why we need Jesus Christ. Number two, the heart is the gateway that all decisions pass through before they are made. And let me give you some scriptural support for that. Exodus 4:21, when Moses was about to go to the Pharaoh, it says this, the Lord tells him, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, for which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. The Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and that's what helped him make the decision against God's people. Even though everything else was screaming to him, look, let him go, just let the Israelites go, why is it such a big deal? His heart was hardened, and he was set in his ways. Also, Exodus 35:29 says this of the people of Israel. That was a bad example. Here's a good example. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, and then it says this, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So we're naturally evil, and our heart is going to make our decisions. So naturally, we're going to be making the bad decisions like Pharaoh. Now here, the children of Israel, and I'll get to this when I get to the practical part, but they had God leading them, and God gave them a willing heart to give. And it says it, their heart made them willing. So our heart is going to make our decisions, good or wrong. If it's coming down to what should I do next, your heart's going to make the decision. You know, of course, we're a spirit and a body and a soul, and I believe it's like this. Of course, your spirit is the driver. And we'll make it a Mustang just because I like a Mustang. And our heart is like the engine and the steering wheel on that Mustang. And the Mustang is us. Whatever is inside that engine, whatever under the hood of your car, that's going to determine where you go. Now, some cars, they don't have a good engine. So they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to have to get worked on. They're going to just sputter. They're going to have some backfire issues. Brother Tommy, you were a mechanic. You know how it was. Some people's engines just need a complete overhaul. And you know what? That's what our soul is to us. Our soul is like our engine. It's going to decide whether we're going to run or not. And, of course, there's a direction that we're going to be running. Number three, the treasure in our heart will eventually come out. So whatever is in our heart that's making all the decisions, whatever we put in there is eventually going to come out. And if we look in Luke 6:45, let's turn there. Luke 6:45. Go ahead and keep your finger there in Matthew. Luke 6:45. And then if you're looking ahead, just a couple pages down from our text, Matthew chapter 12. But we'll start in Luke 6:45. The Bible says this. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And if we look in Matthew chapter 12, if you kept your finger there, just a couple pages back, Matthew 12:35, Jesus, it's just another account of what he had said. And the Bible says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And so the Bible says here clearly, whatever we put into our heart, whatever kind of gas you're going to put into your engine, that's going to affect what decisions you make. And then number four, this is my last introductory statement. The Bible says that our heart is under our care and control. Now with a car, whoever owns a car is going to be putting the gas in it, putting the oil in it, you know, doing the tune-ups, making sure it runs right. Well, for us, our heart is only under our control. Now, you know what? For some of you parents, you know, if your kid has a car, you can help them take care of their car. You can help them put stuff in the engine. And you know what? Just like that, parents, we can help our children to put the right things into their heart, but only so much. You know, my dad could be there to show me how to change the oil under the car and how to get on top and know what all the parts are moving around. And he could show me that, but as soon as I took off and he wasn't there anymore, it was up to me. So ultimately, you all have your heart, and it's under your care and control. It's your responsibility. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And of course, Mark 8:17 says this, and when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? And then Hebrews 3:8 says, harden not your heart. Now let me get to my illustration before I make it practical. Now this is my wife's tool bag, and I would have brought mine, but I didn't want to get oil on the nice carpet that's up here because it's got grease and oil all over it. But here is her little tool bag that I bought her. It's, of course, got a sock set. That's the one I got her for Christmas. And it's got, well, this one's actually mine. I just kept it in there. It's got some drill bits, you know, a hammer, and all kinds of other things. And this is, had some nails in there. I need to watch out for that. This is what our heart is likened into. You know what? It's just empty. And we can put into it whatever we want to put into it. In fact, let me walk over here. I was telling my wife I didn't know where to set the table because this side seems to always get neglected. So I'll walk over here with everything. And see, look, it's empty right now, except this X-Acto knife. All right, now it's empty. And you know what? That's what our heart is. When we start out and when we're born, and as we become more accountable for our actions, we start putting stuff in there. Now, if you're wise, you put into your tool bag things that you're going to need, like this knife, in case you need to cut something. Or a hammer. You never know when you're going to need a hammer because you can use it to pry and you can use it to hammer. Awesome. Now, when we make bad decisions, it's like we're putting junk inside our tool bag. I mean, now, Brother Jeff, I appreciate your toolbox, and everything is in Brother Jeff's toolbox that he needs to work. Is that right, Brother Jeff?
Yes, sir.
In fact, there's two of everything in his toolbox that you need to work. And if you go and try to pick up Brother Jeff's toolbox, you need to brace yourself because it is going to show you what gravity does. It's going to bring you down to the ground and crush you. That's what Brother Jeff's toolbox does to people. It brings you down and crushes you. But my dad, when he always went to work, he couldn't carry something that big and have two of every tool because he had to walk from one end of a factory all the way over to another. And when he did that, he had to carry his tool bag. You know, there wasn't any golf carts around because all the lazy people who didn't do anything were riding the golf carts. But he had to carry his tool bag and walk from one end to the other, so he had to keep the bare necessities in. Now, if he got to one end of the factory, which he's done before, and he didn't have the right tool, he had to go back to his toolbox and find the right tool. You know what? I think, you know, the Bible says that out of your heart, out of our tool bag, come all the issues of life. You know what? I believe that everything is an issue or a solution. I think you can break most things down like that. Maybe not 100%, but most things. And you know what? When you come to an issue and you got your tool bag, you can either open up your tool bag and have a bigger issue because you don't have the right tool, or you can have a solution in there.
Right. Sure.
Well, this is our heart. And you know what? I can put some real useful things in there. I got some, I got part of my Mexican tool set right here. But if I went through life and I just put, there's my Lucky Charms, and I put junk inside of my tool bag here, and let's say I'm Max, and I'm going through Brother Jeff's toolbox and I take out all the good stuff, and I just leave it on the kitchen table, but Dad doesn't know it. And then I put all my cool stuff, like my Lucky Charms box and part of the newspaper that I really liked yesterday, and I put that in his tool bag. When Jeff gets to the job and carries that toolbox out into the house and tries to do any work, he's going to have a bigger issue. Now, folks, what are we putting inside of our heart? Now, if we're smart enough to know that we're not supposed to put trash inside of our tool bag, or not supposed to put trash, ladies, inside of her makeup bag instead of makeup. You know, if you go on a trip and you go and open that makeup bag or that box, the box that I know nothing about, but I know that it's really heavy. You know, if you put a bunch of trash in there instead of lip gloss then you're going to have a problem. In fact, tell you what, I think I would have less of a problem by putting junk in my tool bag than if my wife put junk in her makeup bag, because we would get somewhere and she'd be like, I don't have this. We're going to have to go home. Honey, we're almost there. I don't care. We're going to have to go home. All right. Where's the Dollar General at? But if we're smart enough to do that, why can't we take better care of our heart? And so we put all kinds of stuff in our heart. Let me tell you, of course, through the Bible, we learn that there's only two ways to get things into our heart, and that's through our eyes and our ears. I mean, If you put it in your mouth, it's just going to go to your belly. Jesus said it. Look, they should have washed their hands, but they didn't. It's not a big deal. It's not anything spiritual, but whatever we put under our eyes, we're going to remember seeing. In fact, I've heard that if you take a picture, you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, it'll remind you of what you did on vacation. And of course, if you take a video, you'll forget everything else but what's in the video. And what we see can majorly affect what we remember, what we think about. I mean, I could probably, if I tried to, I could think of billboards that I saw. I took a trip to St. Louis this last week. I could remember billboards out of everything. The most, probably, I mean, old way of marketing. I mean, there, you know, I remember driving by some. You could go and you could be like, well, I don't remember what really was in Walmart. And then you ask a lady, well, what was the dress that was on the mannequin when you first walked into that store? Some of you people could think of that. I can't. I can remember some of the colors that were in the front of the store at the mall or at JCPenney or someplace like that. But you know what? Those things that we see, we're going to remember. The things that we hear, we're going to remember. And of course, everybody's different. Some people are more sight-oriented. Some people are more touch-oriented. Some people more hearing-oriented. But like me, I can remember songs that I have not listened to in 10, 15 years. And I can remember when the drums came in, and I can remember when the guitars came in, and I can remember how the person started singing, and I can keep tempo with it exactly how it is. And I haven't listened to it for 10, 15 years. You know why? Because I've got a musical brain, and I remembered everything that I heard. And you know what? Whether you remember everything or something, whatever you do remember, that's in your heart. I mean, we preach and we teach that whatever is in our heart is our thoughts and desires. Well, you know what? Those thoughts that just pop into your head and you're like, oh, I forgot about that. That's in your heart. So here, it's just a shotgun straight sermon. We have some things that we need to put into our heart. You know what? There's the junk that I just talked about, but there's some tools that we need to put into, like a scraper. Some things that are useful that we can use in our life, like a screwdriver that you can actually change out the bits in, and it's actually useful. You know, I could put way more screws in with this screwdriver than I could with my Lucky Charms box. And there's certain useful things that the Lord has set out for us to put into our heart. And so let me get into things that we need to put into our heart. And number one, let me just start with Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus is the only one who can take our engine that's inside of us and he can refurbish it. He's the one that can take our oil pan, if our oil pan's all blown out, guys, and he can put a new one in there. Ladies, he's the one that can, I'm trying to think, I have such a hard time relating to women sometimes. I'll have to ask my wife for a good example to write inside this sermon, but ladies, if your hair dryer it doesn't have the right parts inside of it and it's not spinning and blowing air, you're thinking, well, this is junk. I need to throw it away and ask my parents for a new one, or I need to throw it away and go get a new one, right? I mean, because you can't live without a hair dryer. Well, you know what? We need to put Jesus Christ into our heart, and I will not put Jesus Christ into a hair dryer, but he will come into our heart and he will fix up our engine. You know what? He will come into our tool bag right here, and you know what? He'll toss out this junk. And he'll put it back in the trash can where it needs to go. He'll clean it out. We believe in First John 1:9, where it says that if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. You know what? That's not only the same when we're first saved and we're under sin. That's the same whenever we're a Christian living our life and we say, you know what? I got some sin in my life. He says he will cleanse us from our sin, from all iniquity. He'll get it clean in there. You know what? If you're a Christian, you're like, man, I put a lot of junk inside my tool bag. You know what? It's kind of like that floorboard in your car that no one sits in, and now they can't sit in it because there's some McDonald's cups and there's some bags from Walmart sitting there. And you said at first, I'm just going to toss it back there, and I'll forget about it, and when I get home, I'll clean it out. Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen some of those cars, and they forgot for a whole year to clean it out. And you know what? He'll take us, even if we're that stuff, even if we got McDonald's cups touching the ceiling of our car, he'll come into our heart and clean it out. Now, you know what? We need to put Jesus Christ into our heart by putting our faith in him and trusting him as our Savior. Romans 10:9-10, it says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, a man believeth unto righteousness. You know what? We can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and he'll come into our heart, and he'll save us. But also, as we're Christians, we have some reasons to put Jesus in our heart anyway. Philippians 2:5, you'll turn there. Philippians 2:5. While you're turning there, 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, who hath also sealed us in giving us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now I'll tell you, you know what? We also have the Spirit that's in our heart. You know what? We need to put Jesus Christ in our heart, but we have his Spirit in our heart as well. That's what Holy Spirit fullness is. It's when your thoughts and your desires and everything you're feeling is wrapped up around Jesus Christ. It's wrapped up around the Bible. And you know what? We need to fill our hearts with the Spirit. But here in Philippians 2:5, let's fill ourselves with Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's make his mind part of our mind. Let's put it in our heart. What would Jesus do? Now, it's become such a cliche that we say that and people laugh. Oh, yeah, huh? What would Jesus do? You know, oh, I really like that wristband you're wearing. What would Jesus do? WWJD. But it's true. We need to think. You know, just like our pastor preaches, we need to be the 13th disciple. You know, what was it like when Jesus was, you know, healing the man with the withered hand? Did it just pop and it was new, or did it slowly become new? I mean, and then think, I can't believe Jesus could touch a man's withered hand and heal it. I mean, Jesus could heal you. It's happened before. Christ has that. We need to put this mind in us. We need to maybe put out the worries, put out the junk. Let's put out the thoughts that, well, you know, I'm just going to worry and worry and worry about it, and that's just how I am. Let's put that out of our mind. Let's put Jesus in our mind. What would Jesus do? Let's pray about it instead of worrying. Let's put this mind in us, which is the mind of Christ. You know what? Instead of being all haughty and thinking, oh, yeah, this is coming up. I know I can do that. Let's put Jesus Christ's humbleness into our mind. Let's put Jesus Christ's humbleness into our heart, who went up to the tree even though he didn't have to and died on a tree, which was one of the most shameful ways of dying back then. I mean, everybody was being able to see. You were up on top of a hill. You were up on top of the cross on top of the hill. Everybody knew you were up there. I mean, they had a sign with your name and your crime on it. You were just an open book. I mean, there's nothing to hide. You know what? Let's put Jesus Christ in our heart. You know what? Ephesians 3, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's put Jesus Christ into our heart. You know what? Let's start getting some useful things and putting him into our heart. Ephesians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians. And the Bible says right here in verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth the knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. You know what? Let's stick his mind, and let's try to start putting his mind inside of our hearts. Let's start taking his thoughts and try to make them our thoughts. Let's start taking our time and start making it his time. You know what? Jesus, when he was a boy and they left him at the temple, you know what he said? He was like, I was about my father's business. He was a businessman. At the age of 12, he was about his father's business. Let's make his business our business. Right here, you know what? Let's make the faith of Christ our faith. You know what? The faith of a mustard seed or those green bean seeds that Pastor had up here, and you know, those seeds that he was talking about that he grew his garden with. Let's have those seeds and let's put them in our hearts so that we could use them to grow something great. So let's put Jesus Christ into our tool bag of our heart. Number two, let's put the Word of God in our heart. Now, I know that you could probably just say, well, the Word of God, that is Jesus. But you know what? It's very important that we not only try to be like Christ and think like Christ and pray like Christ, but we need to put his words into our heart. After we are saved, I mean, we still struggle. I mean, Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. It's not over after we're saved. When my dad was first saved, I mean, he worked in factories all his life. I mean, Brother John Reiser knew him. And one time, Brother John Reiser was riding his bike home, and he was coming home from Bloomington, and he drove by, and my dad and a bunch of guys were out, and my dad tried to wave him down. And, you know, John just drove right by. And later at work, he said, John, why didn't you stop by? He said, well, I didn't know those guys, and, you know, I didn't want to get into any trouble, so I just kept going on. You know, because that's the kind of guy my dad was. He was a rough guy. I mean, he hang out with rough people. When Dad was at work, he worked on the assembly line, and he would package the motors, and I mean, there's a few other jobs that he did, but he had a friend, and he'd always tell me that they would get into slap fights at work for fun. That's what they did. He was just a bigger guy, and you know, a lot of the friends that my dad's hung out with went into bars to find fights, because that's what they like to do. They like to fight, but they would slap fight at work. And he would tell me, Jesse, you would not believe how many glasses I went through working there. He's like, because all of a sudden, you know, a stray slap would come, and boom, knock my glasses off, had to buy new glasses. And you know what? That's how my dad was. But my dad got saved, and you know what? He made some big decisions. He got some things out of his heart that he didn't need, and he put some things in it. He went down to whatever church that he felt comfortable, and he said, I want to be baptized. The preacher said, well, I know it wasn't my sermon that made you want to get baptized. The preacher just said it. He's like, I know that wasn't why you want to get baptized. Why do you want to get baptized? My dad said, well, I've been saved. I need to put some good things in my heart. I need to get baptized. He knew that. And you know what? He knew that because as a child, he was taught the Word of God. We need to put the Word of God in our heart. Because you know what? Unlike these tools that I can just dump out right here, the Word of God will stick in our heart. I mean, of course, if we bury it under a bunch of other stuff, we don't know it's there sometimes. But let's stick the Word of God in our heart. Because even after my dad got baptized, he started struggling again. He started fighting again. And you know what? He found comfort in going to the Bible and reading it. He still does to this day. It's one of those lessons that I had to learn from him was, you know what? My dad, when he starts going through a hard time, he starts reading his Bible more. And you might be like, well, I mean, yeah, he should be reading it all the time. Yeah, he should. But you know, when he goes through a hard time, he reads it more. You know, he picks it up again because he knows that the Word of God can help us. What's the Bible say? Let's turn to Proverbs. And while you're turning there, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Whoa, how do I cleanse myself? How do I clean out some of the junk that's in there? I need to cleanse my heart with the Word of God. Verse 11 says this, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Proverbs, if you will, look in chapter 3 of Proverbs. I could go on and on and on about all the verses about wisdom and about the Word of God. Let's put the Word of God in our heart. You know what? Let's put Jesus Christ in there. Let's put the Word of God in there. Anybody who's going to be doing any work, they don't just put one tool in their tool bag. They fill it up. You know what? If you look in Brother Jeff's toolbox, there's no room for another tool. But I say that he'd find room if he needed that other tool to put it in there. But there's no room. You know, you would look at it and be like, how do you fit all these tools in here? If you looked at my dad's tool bag, every pocket had stuff in it. Everything in the inside had stuff in it because he did not know what he was going to run into. And here in Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll look with me at verse number 1, the Bible says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know what? The Bible says that God sent his son into his spirit into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And here's Proverbs, and here's a father to his son. Let's listen to it as God's speaking to us. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of the Lord. One page over, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. This is probably one of the favorite group of verses that I had to memorize in Bible college. I love these verses. I took a Proverbs class, and these are the verses we had to memorize. Verse number 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And we keep going on. I mean, the whole first 8 chapters are basically about wisdom and who not to talk to and what kind of wisdom you should get and who to talk to. Let's put the Word of God in our heart. Let's start stacking the tools in. I mean, you know what? We got Jesus Christ, and we're trying to work on putting his faith in there. We're trying to work on putting his mind in there. And we think, well, you know what? I'm still having trouble. I still got room in there. And that room just means that I could put more junk in there. You know what? If you keep your car clean all the time, you think, well, you know, I don't want to put anything in there. If you got a toolbox full of tools, you're like, well, I don't want to put anything more in there. But you know what? If you got room and you don't really have anything to do it, you're going to start sticking junk in there. You're going to start tossing it in there. You think, well, my car's already dirty. Let's just keep tossing stuff in there. Well, here, let's start with a clean toolbox. Go to God and ask forgiveness. And so he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's start putting Jesus in there. Let's start putting the Word of God in there. And let's keep doing it. I mean, there's so many ways to learn the Word of God. I mean, we have a radio station that plays preaching. We have a radio station that plays the Word of God. There's several different ways that you can get an app on your iPhone for reading the Word of God. You can listen to it by Alexander Scorby. You can listen to it by so-and-so. You can listen to it. I mean, there's a multitude of different voices you can hear it read in. You know what? You can read it out loud. You could read it to yourself. You could have somebody else read it to you out loud. You could read it on your phone. You could read it in a book. There's so many ways that we could put the Word of God in. It's so versatile. You could take it anywhere you want to go. You could take it to work. You know what? My car, I keep a New Testament in my car at all times because you never know when you're going to need the Word of God. You know what? I keep gospel tracts in my car at all times because you never know when you'll need the Word of God. Well, you know what? Let's start putting it in there. We need the Word of God in our heart. So you know what? We need Jesus Christ in our heart. We need the Word of God in our heart. And last but not least, we need the praise of God in our heart. You know what? After we have Christ in our heart and continue to feed our spirit with the Word of God, we won't be able to keep ourselves from praising God if we do that. And you know what? Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, last place I'll have you turn. Psalm 100. And while you're turning there, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And here in Psalm 100, if you're there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know what? Let's praise God. You know what? We can praise the Cincinnati Reds when they win a baseball game. Yeah! Not me, but whoever's a Cincinnati Reds fan. You know, you could praise your favorite football team, or, you know, that football player that's on your fantasy team, you know, and, you know, you could call somebody up at 10 o'clock at night and ask for a certain player. Why can't we just praise God? Why can't we just say that God's good? Why can't it, well, you know, when we hit our finger with something, you know, why is it what we have to take Christ's name in vain instead of praising Christ? Now, I don't feel like praising Christ when I hit my finger with something. You know, I got all kinds of stuff that I get from work, but you know what? Let's get done at the end of the day and just say, praise God, a good day at work. You know, thank the Lord, I was safe at work. You know what? If you pray to be safe and the Lord blesses you, why not thank him? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're allowed to come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, that we can ask for anything we need. So why can't we come to his throne of grace saying, thank you, God. I asked for you to keep our bus safe this morning, and you did. Thank you, God. I dropped off all the kids, and I didn't have any extra, and I didn't lose any, and I didn't have a parent saying, where's my kid? And I didn't have the bus driver saying, who's that girl halfway back on the right? I didn't have that. Thank you so much for taking care of us. You know what? There's so many things to be thankful for, and I'm not even talking cliche. You know, thank you, Lord, for the year. That was really good. You know, but I'm talking about serious things in our life that we pray and ask for, and we forget to thank him for. Serious things in our life that we could sing about, songs that we could sing, but instead, you know, we hum that tune that, you know, is stuck in our head from the commercial that was really catchy. You know, or we sing that song that we remember from our past. Let's praise the Lord. And I'm guilty of it. That's as good for me as it is for anybody else. I mean, I already preached a sermon. I like to sin. I mean, you all know that I like to sin. I have problems with it too. I got to fill my own toolbox up with the good stuff. I still got to take the bad stuff out. You know, oftentimes I reach in my toolbox and I'm like, I can't believe that's still in there. And then I got to take everything out of my toolbox and ask God, and he's got to clean it up for me. Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that I have to hit. I have to give a lesson for my dad. I have to tell everybody I'm a sinner. And then I have to tell a Kroger story. So this is my Kroger story. At Kroger, we have this big box. It's a big metal box, and it's our meat grinder. And literally, I mean, you could take a whole slab of meat and toss it in there. Now, generally, you cut it up into chunks. But, I mean, you can cut chunks up the size of your hand or the size of John Ross's hand. And you could throw them in there, and the meat grinder would grind it up. And it would turn it into hamburger. And I was the night crew, and we were responsible for cleaning all of that. You know, you had to go through and... thankfully, you could do it with the hose. You sprayed it off, you know, got all the meat around the outside, got all the meat on the inside. But one day, we came in there, and we had a guest. He was from Procter & Gamble. And he said, I'm here to make sure that everything is clean and up to health code. Okay. So he went through, and he would look under tables, make sure that there's nothing under there, you know, that was old and obviously hadn't been swept in a few weeks. He would go to your drawers and, you know, everything else, and he'd look inside them, make sure that you weren't keeping some kind of meat in there, or, you know, trying to steal something. And he would go check your cooler, and he would check the meat room, see how clean it was, because you can tell when meat has been there, dried on there for a couple days. Well, he one day went in there, and on that meat grinder, it's a big metal box, and on the front of it has a chute, and that's where all the ground beef comes out. He said, have you ever taken that off? Me and the guy, I had only been there for like 2 years, and the guy that was with me had been there for like 6 years. We look at each other, and he said, I've never, ever seen anybody take that off. And I'll tell you, you know what? There's some times when we, you know, dig deep in our heart that we find things that we're pretty ashamed of, and that's pretty rank, and that's pretty like, whoa, that's kind of funny, but that's not funny at all. And when we finally, I mean, I literally had to, they had a big wrench that they just left there, and it was specifically made to take that apart. On one end was a little hook that you used to take one part off, and on the other end was like it was like the box end of a wrench. And we put that on there, and I had one guy push on it, and then I stood on top of it and jumped. I had to do that. And then finally, he got tired of it. I mean, this guy is like 6'5", 300 pounds. I work out every day. And here's this 150-pound guy, and they're jumping on this. And he gets tired. He leaves. And eventually, like, I don't know how I leveraged it or if he and me had broke it loose, but finally I broke it off. And, I mean, you could smell that everywhere in the meat department. In fact, you know, we had to take a metal bristle, a Scotch-Brite or whatever you call it, and scrape that thing, take the part that was there, scrape the bottom of it, drain the sink, fill it up again with soap, scrape it again. You know why? Because we had not even checked there. We hadn't looked. No one had taken it apart and cleaned it. Let me tell you this. Number one, the Lord can cleanse that in your life if you bring it to Him. And number two, we can replace that with something clean. You know what? After that, every night we took that off and cleaned that. And you know what? It wasn't hard to take off the bolt again. It wasn't dirty and stinky anymore. And after about a week, it looked brand new. But it's only because we took it off and cleaned it, and we replaced it with something good. We didn't just leave the dirty junk in there. We took that off and replaced it with soap and water and clean stuff. And so what are you putting in your tool bag? What is it that is hard to take out? You know, sometimes the junk that we stick in our toolboxes or tool bags is okay at first, or at least we think it's okay, and then it starts getting rotten. You know, I love bologna sandwiches, but I can't keep a bologna sandwich in my tool bag all the time. You know, I mean, it'd be okay for one day maybe, and then I'd reach in there and I'd be like, oh, it's got a little grease from yesterday on it. You know, I mean, you don't do that. You don't just, you know, sometimes you do, but, you know, after a week, then it's starting to get pretty bad. You take it out. Because at first it might not have seemed like a bad idea, but then it became one. What are you putting in your tool bag? And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Thank you so much for your words that you've given us so that I don't have to get up here and try to solve the issues of life with my own thoughts and philosophies, but I can bring your philosophies to the table. Lord, we love you. I pray that you'd please help us to look into our tool bag and look under the hood and see what's there. What is inside of us that we need to clean out, and what's inside of us that we probably need to hang something new there. Now, dear Lord, I pray and ask that you'd be with this invitation, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.